The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Many reasons we love RVTV is just the annual reminder of how awesome the people of Iowa are. We go all around the state. We do it every year, and we're just always just pleasantly surprised and sometimes even taken aback with just how spirited people are, but never inappropriate or disrespectful. I mean, as we go from town to town, we're live over and over and over again, yet we don't ever experience any, you know, photo bombing or over the top attempts to be on camera. It's just people appreciating the Cy-Hawk rivalry, RVTV, the live television that we do. We started in Greenfield this year, amazing place. We bowled live on the 10 o'clock news. That was fun. Then we went over to Carroll, the home of the Iowa Nice Guy, Scott Sipker. He showed us around his town. That was so much fun. And we went from Carroll to Humboldt. The streets were just lined with people in Humboldt, all of them making for good television, doing things the way we had hoped. Dallas Clark stopped by. What a great guy he is. And now he owns a winery. Who would have ever thought that? From Humboldt, we got up in an airplane. We're in an airplane. Ed Wilson and I in an airplane, all eyes on us, because When you're flying somewhere, people can't, I guess, take their eyes off you because you're landing in a small plane. It was only a 15-minute flight, but still, we felt like rock stars for one day, and that was, gosh, that was really cool. And then it was on to Ames, and those great Ames High School kids had so much fun with them. We will never forget this year's RVTV, and especially the...
Live from WHO HD, it's Sound Off with Keith Murphy and John Sears, featuring Andy Fales with What's Bugging Andy. Now, get ready to sound off.
Welcome to Cy-Hawk Sound Off post-RVTV. If that video didn't make total sense to you, then you haven't seen the video bomber yet.
Most it's gone people viral.
Have, yeah, a couple hundred thousand people have viewed it. It's at on WHOTV.com or my Facebook page. And the new one will be there as well. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. It is the game. The game has been decided. Bragging rights are done.
Huge game yesterday. Yeah, finally. We finally got there after RVTV. It feels like it takes forever for us to get to Saturday.
It sure does. And it's finally here. And it's the hot topic. It's a Hawkeye State. Iowa wins the Cy-Hawk Showdown 31-17. The Hawkeyes take the Cy-Hawk Trophy and bragging rights back to Iowa City. What is your takeaway from the big game? 282-9010, Randy Schumacher taking your phone calls tonight. Sound off now. Cy-Hawk Rivalry Week is awesome and awful, but mostly awesome. For every lovely lifetime Hawkeye fan like 91-year-old Loretta, or Cyclone fan like the charming Jerry Porter, we run into someone with an actual tattoo of a Cyclone stabbing a Hawkeye through the heart, or presidential candidate gravy training support at Jack Truce Stadium. Mostly, it's fun, friendly, and fantastic. And there are no RVTV street parties without a football game. And I thought this was one of the more entertaining games in the Cy-Hawk series, above average anyway. 20 years ago, it would be hard to imagine Jack Trice Stadium with the look and energy it has now. It's the most improved part of the Cy-Hawk rivalry, though the Pewter family wants a recount. The Cyclones looked sharp in the first half. Sam Richardson outplayed C.J. Beathard early. The ISU defense flew to the football and made plays. Second half, different story. Richardson struggled. ISU couldn't run or stop the run. And C.J. Beathard emerged as the star in the making Hawkeye fans hoped. Beathard and the Hawks dominated when it counted most. They finished with 21 unanswered points. Iowa
simply looked like the better team. Now, both head coaches needed the rivalry win for the approval ratings bump that comes with it. But Ferentz would face more backlash from losing, but he didn't lose. He and the Hawkeyes took the focus group selected Cy-Hawk trophy back to Iowa City. Iowa's first trophy game win since 2013. Not everyone has hopped back on the Hawkeye Express, but nothing cures like winning. Ferentz has never made it through non-conference undefeated. This year, he will. A night game at re-energized Kinnick Stadium should provide the backdrop for a 3-0 start with North Texas next.
Keith, I think Iowa showed they are a better team than last year. Let's start with the defense. The Hawks held Iowa State scoreless in the second half. The linebackers made plays. There was pressure on Sam Richardson, and the defensive backs held an explosive receiving core in check. On offense, we knew Iowa was going to run. Jordan Kanziri and LaShun Daniels are a solid 1-2 punch, an upgrade over Mark Weissman. But it all boils down to C.J. Beathard. Just think of the plays he made. The two touchdown passes, strikes to the only spots his receiver could catch it, the two long runs, the 3rd-and-21 bomb to Matt Vandenberg. Beathard is a playmaker and the key for Iowa. It's only two games, so still too early to hit the panic button for Iowa State, but there is cause for concern, and it starts on offense. The Cyclones rushed for only 77 yards against UNI, just 66 against Iowa. I think Iowa State is trying to force something that just isn't there. I understand all coaches would love to be balanced, 50-50, run pass, but that's not happening. The Cyclones need to be 75-25 in favor of the passing game. Spread the field, five wide, Bundridge, Lazard, Montgomery, Daly, Wesley. Let your best playmakers make plays. It's not what Paul Rhodes wants to do, but let's be honest. What do they have to lose?
And go for it on 4th-and-1. When you're approaching
at midfield.
You need to do that.
Yeah, keep that drive going.
Coming up, the Iowa Wild will have a reveal, and we'll do the revealing. That's later in the show, so stick around for that. But right now, phone calls, and Southside Zach is up first. Southside Zach, what did you think of the Hawkeye win?
You know what? Let's not give it to the coaching. Let's give it to the fumble. And I mean, 2 minutes left. We fumble, I think it was 7 minutes left, we fumble, and then we come back and win by 2 touchdowns. Oh, Garden Grove. Anyway, Murph Law, really weak tonight, dude. But anyways, I just want to send a shout-out right this moment. My brother got married this weekend.
All right, no shout-outs. Right. You can't call, insult the host, and then get a shout-out.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't happen.
Can't do that.
Paul is in Grimes. Paul, what did you think of the Cy-Hawk game?
Hey, Murph, it was a great game. I'm just sitting on the throne, and I'm taking a Sammy Richardson. How about that, buddy?
Oh, man. Paul and Grimes, you sound familiar. Trevor in Ankeny, what did you think of the Cy-Hawk game? Live up to your expectations? Trevor? Trevor's on delay. Trevor, are you there?
Trevor.
All right, Trevor, we're giving up on you. We're going to lookalikes. More live phone calls coming up here on Sound Off. Time for lookalikes with a local connection. Send them to soundoff@whotv.com. Old Spice Judges, Vinny in Dakota City, says Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard looks like grown-up actor Macaulay Culkin. What do you think, Old Spice? Yeah, I guess so.
Macaulay Culkin still an actor? Is he still labeled as an actor?
He quarterbacks the Hawkeyes, apparently. No, I don't think I've seen him as an adult. I'm still looking at him. I'm still picturing the kid from Home Alone. Yeah. What was that, 25 years ago? Brandy in Webster City says Tim Dwight on RVTV looks like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that's pretty good right there.
That's not bad.
The shades and everything.
That's not bad either. Woo.
Whether it's 2 of 3 or 4 of 5, it's numbers and the way we all spin them that's bugging Andy. Next.
Like us on Facebook, Sound Off Nation. Mark writes, hats off to Iowa. Did not see that coming. Vegas. This is from Mark. Vegas just got $50 from me.
Oh, there he is. He's writing right now as we speak.
Did not see that coming. Vegas just got
$50.
He's live
writing.
There's your $50.
Donald writes, Iowa did something they never do. Make halftime adjustments that
Made sense. Complete domination in the second half, minus the turnover.
Matt writes, Iowa fumbled within the 10-yard line and came away empty on the 2-yard line as time ran out in the first half due to terrible play calling. It could have been a 28-point beating. The better team won. It's time for What's Bugging Andy. He's been doing this segment for more than a decade.
Or is it 12 of 19 years?
Or is it more than half of Sound Off's history?
Never mind, just roll it.
Let me begin by coming clean. I'm recording this segment on Friday, September 11th, before the Cy-Hawk game has been played. That's advantageous because, as of right now, the Hawkeyes and Cyclones are even by the numbers. They've each won 7 Cy-Hawk games this century. But the thing is, only someone with no rooting interest, someone like me, would say it that way. No Cyclone or Hawkeye fan worth their drawer full of forgotten koozies would use this 7 wins apiece sample when discussing the way the rivalry has gone lately. Fans use numbers the same way that politicians do, the same way that TV stations do, to make themselves look as good as possible. It's one of those things that we know is really silly, but we gladly do it anyway. For example, Cyclone fans won't tell you that Iowa State is 7-7 in the Cy-Hawk game this century. As of now, they've won 3 of 4. If they won this weekend, they're now saying 4 of 5. If they lost, then the Iowa fans are the ones using the numbers. They're saying they've won 2 of the last 3. See, I thought numbers were supposed to be one of the few uncorruptible things in life that isn't up for debate. You know, numbers, gravity, everybody loves balloons. But that's hardly the case. No matter what happens this weekend, Kirk Ferentz still has a losing record against Iowa State. You think that would end the discussion, but then again, you know it won't. Hawkeye fans will point to things like margin of victory or the fact that no Iowa team that ever finished the season ranked has ever lost to Iowa State. And they'll be feeling good about that until someone brings up 2002. Ooh, the most cursed number in the history of the Cy-Hawk rivalry to Iowa fans. The year, the game, the one exception. The one that Hawkeye fans can't ever seem to put behind them. At least until they get mad enough to really drop the gloves and whip out 15-0. The death blow. Ooh, the kick right between the slacks. The streak of Iowa wins from 1983 to 1997, in which the Cy-Hawk game looked like Reagan versus Mondale. But that was then. This is now. We had a game this weekend, and even though there was a final score, it won't be the final word. Because who needs words when you've got numbers? I'm Andy Fales, and that's What's Bugging Me.
Andy, thanks. The Iowa Wild unveils a new look later, but first, who's in your 5 RVTV edition?
Watch out.
And just to be clear, I said Kinnick would be rocking Saturday night, then North Texas. Implication being Saturday night rocking is
against Pitt.
But yeah. I could have been more clear on that. But thank you to all who are trying to make sure I know the game is against Pitt. I do know. Follow us on Twitter at SoundOff13. Iowa Hawkeye writes, Cyclone fans can take away at least one positive after losing to Iowa. It's officially basketball season for them.
Ooh. Justin says, Iowa didn't look great in first. Too many blown plays and costly penalties, but second half was dominant. CJ is becoming a star.
Thunderhawk writes, Iowa has a game changer at QB. That makes anything possible. Hashtag thanks, Michigan.
Adam tweets, I've had enough. Fire Paul Rhodes and send Mangino with him. We've had anemic offenses and worn down defenses for 4 years.
Who's in your 5 memorable RVTV moments this year? So here we go. Let's start with number 5. It is the humble high selfie. somewhere down there is Ed Wilson's big head. Big head.
With a
Ed.
Selfie
there,
stick.
I think I just saw it there go by. Number four, the flight from Webster City to Humboldt with Jill, the pilot. I don't like small planes, especially that close to Clear Lake. Mm. But Jill made it a smooth flight, and it was a fun way to travel.
And it was only 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah, cut off 25 minutes from that drive. number three, my eyes melting during the Webster City campfire. I should have known Sipker and Admire were setting me up and Chris Williams when they gave me that chair.
Yeah, that smoke was right in your face.
It wasn't very nice. Number two, hit in the face with a human foosball during the live newscast. But how about hiring Dallas Clark the next day when my nose was still sore just to catch any footballs or any type of foosball, soccer balls, anything thrown near my face.
It's a good hire. You can catch anything.
Yeah, thank you, Dallas. Good luck with the winery. And number one, well, it's the no-shoe Sears with two fall-down strikes on live television.
One of the greatest sports moments in the history of television.
I don't think that's overstating it.
No.
And that was live in Greed Field. Marcy is in Ellsworth. Marcy, what did you think of the game?
Well, hey, what more can you say about Iowa? What do you not like about Iowa? You know, they come out, they do their best. They didn't look all that great, I will admit, in the first half. But during halftime, their coach must have gave them a good talking to. And they were awesome the second half. They dominated. You know, the last 2 minutes of the game, you know, they put down 14 points. You know, what's not to like about Iowa? And, you know, no matter if they win or if they lose, you got to be behind your team.
It's a good attitude.
Good attitude, Marcy.
And they did dominate that second half. Iowa State crossed midfield once. That was 2 yards into Iowa territory. So the Iowa defense completely shut down the Iowa State offense. And once Beathard got into a rhythm, he started to make some big-time plays.
Game was still in doubt with a couple of minutes to go, so mm-hmm. I understand some Cyclone fans being defensive about the word dominated, but it was applied to the second half,
yeah.
And Iowa did dominate the second half. It was 21-0, and it just
And Iowa State never came close to scoring.
Yeah, it felt like Iowa was the better team, and Paul Rhodes was searching for answers. So were the players in the locker room. John, you talked to them. They know they were dominated in the second half, and they didn't like it, and they're trying to figure out why.
Yeah, and one of the main reasons one of the main things they need to figure out is some semblance of a running game, because, like I said, it's either find the running game or just go pass. You got to do one or the other. You can't try to be balanced when one isn't working.
Let's try Trevor and Ankeny again, see if he's there this time. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, Keith, how's it going?
Good. What'd you think?
Oh, well, you know, I thought, you know, congratulations to Iowa for getting the W. I know it meant a lot to that coaching staff, especially with that 9 on the helmet. I will say I don't think the score necessarily really talked about the outcome. I know, obviously, at the end, Iowa got a lot of turnovers from Iowa State, but I still think that it was a lot closer. I will say it was probably the most exciting Cy-Hawk series that we've had in a while. I think the entertainment level was a lot higher this year. And I love the fact that Kirk Ferentz, I love going for the fake field goal. I know obviously he didn't get it, but I love the gutsy play call. I love showing that all of his cards are on the table to win against the Cyclones. And I just thought it was a great win for the Hawkeyes. And I still think the Cyclones played a great defensive game. And I think they're still going to turn some heads this year.
I think Iowa State is better than last year.
Yep.
I think it's clear. And I think Iowa is better. And I agree with Trevor. I think that was the most entertaining Cy-Hawk game since the triple overtime game a few years ago. The Steel Giants game, as some people know it. Thomas and Ames, you got a problem with hearing that Iowa State was dominated in the second half?
Number two, Mike Warren.
Thomas?
Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think Iowa dominated Iowa State in the second half of this game?
No, I do not.
Why not?
Well, I think that there was just a couple big plays in there. I would not call it a domination.
It was 21-0, and Iowa State had 60 yards or so
mm-hmm. yeah.
total offense in the entire second half.
Right. That's true. But I don't know.
The Iowa Wild's new look is revealed next in Face Off Plus. More of your live takes. It is Sound Off.
Time to bounce around some more topics. We call it Face Off, a tough week for Hawkeye fans, all sports fans in Iowa. Losing Roy Marble and Tyler Sash, what did you think of Iowa wearing number 9 on the side of the helmet?
I thought it was perfect. Sash had one of his best games against Iowa State, picking off three passes. He loved the Cy-Hawk series. I also thought Iowa State showed class by having a moment of silence.
And the locker for Sash provided some chills.
Oh, it really did. Tyler would love it. I wish Tyler would have known how many lives he touched. He lost sight of that, and he often let the haters get to him. Life's too short for that, as he sadly reminded us.
Fred Hoiberg made it to both Cyclone football games. Good or bad for Steve Prohm?
Might make it harder for Prohm. Just Fred's presence reminds fans how much they don't want to lose him, but it also shows Fred is what he always says he is. He's a Cyclone.
The Iowa Wild will add a third jersey, and it's time for you to reveal it.
John, it is red.
Woo!
It is red.
Look
similar
at that thing.
To the Minnesota Wild's red sweater. What do you think?
I love it. Should be a hit with Cyclone fans too, right?
Yes, and at Christmas. You know, there's some red here.
Oh, good Christmas
green.
Sweater right there.
Team will wear it for the first time October 24th, and then another 10 to 12 times after that.
More importantly, at the end of the year, the Wild will auction off these jerseys to benefit the American Heart Association.
That's nice job.
Right.
Way to go, Iowa Wild. Wild fans, you like this? Three jerseys now. You can always email the show, soundoff@whotv.com. Quote, more than the win itself, I think I was more impressed with the fact that the Hawkeyes beat a good Cyclone team despite their horrible field position most of the time. They showed some grit out there, and that's from the Candy Man in Newton.
C.J. Beathard seems to be the real deal, and so does Iowa State's receiving corps and Iowa's defense. Iowa State nailed it with their tribute to Tyler Sash and Roy Marble.
Agree.
It was also a great game, and the right team won. That's from Shane in Marshalltown.
Good letter, Shane. Last night's game should be concerning for ISU fans. The Cyclones wore down in the second half as if they were playing Oklahoma, Baylor, or TCU. They were playing their in-state rival and should be able to match up toe-to-toe. ISU is in for a long season. Pollard has some thinking to do. That's from Scott in Ottumwa. Let's get to some quick calls here. 60-second sound off. One thought. We'll go to the next person. Mike in Des Moines. What's your thought, Mike?
That was a heck of a game. I'm just sick of seeing the fans beat down each other. I mean, they're mediocre teams, even though I'm from Des Moines, but none of us are national title holders, and I'm sick of seeing the smack talk. Thanks.
All right, Mike. Terry is in Carroll. Thank you for hosting RVTV, Carroll. Terry, what do you think?
Keith,
yes.
I am a Cyclone fan, and I was not impressed with the play calling for Iowa State. Mark Mangino was supposed to be a god for us, and everybody knows that, including our opposing teams, that we can't run the ball. So since we supposedly have this terrific, impressive receiving core and a quarterback with 3 years' experience, why don't we throw the ball down the field and let the receivers make a play for us? We never threw it past 15 yards or even less, and so the defense can play tight to the line. We never opened up the offense.
We're going to have to leave it there, Terry. But you're,
to the buzzer.
Yeah, you're echoing what you said earlier, John.
I'm telling you.
You got to make more
make
plays
the switch
downfield.
Right now. 75 pass, 25 run. Let's do it at Toledo. Come on.
We're back next week. We hope you are too.
We leave you with the sound off send off. The Cyhawk video bomber who kept all of us from paying any attention to what Murph was trying to say outside Jack Trice Stadium.
Apparently, I was the only one who did not notice her.
Who is she? Anyone know who this is? Sound off at whotv.com or soundoff13 on Twitter or soundoff nation on Facebook. Who is this?
Jody Whitworth did a good job of holding it together. Yeah, you'll find a video, whotv.com, of this video bombing. It's also on my Facebook page. And you also find the new video bomber. Do we know the name of the new video bomber?
We don't know the new one either.
Started off the show. Yeah. You'll also find that.
Try to give some love to the RBTV stops.
Jeez.
Jumps on
nobody
in.
Paid attention to me. Good night.
Fred Hoiberg is still the mayor of Ames. No doubt.